Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel 3, I have the chapter, but I forgot the verse, 3:10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears."
Morning. A funny thing happened on the way to church today. Marty and I left the house. We remembered the ice cream. We got on the highway, and we got to Route 9 and Route 7. And I'm looking around in the car. I don't have this. In case you're wondering, my sermon was in this. I had taken it out of the bag that I put my Bible in because I didn't want it to get all wrinkled and put it in here and said, "I hope I don't forget that." We're coming down 787. Marty looked in the rearview mirror and he said, "There's Lloyd behind us. You should hop out and get in his car." Well, the light changed, so I didn't. But we got to the next light, and it was red. And Marty had handed me the bags with the ice cream in it, and I had my bag with the Bibles in it, and I had my pocketbook, and I jumped out of the car, and Lloyd's sitting in the car going, and I come running down to his car. I said, open the door, and I jumped in the car with Lloyd. And he took me to church, and Marty went back home to get my sermon. And all the way over, I kept saying to Marty, I can't believe I did that. And of course, being Marty, he looked at me and said, "I can't believe you did it either." Like he's never forgotten anything. But once I said Happy Sabbath to Lloyd and didn't step on his dish for today's lunch, we made it to church. And fortunately, Marty made it back home and back to church before I needed to start. Because as I said to Lloyd, you know, I was going to try to just ad lib, but I couldn't remember all the scriptures because I changed it again this morning. So I didn't have it pinned to my memory. So God is good, though. God is very, very good all the time, right? So the title of the sermon today is Answering the Call. And Helen graciously gave up her spot to do a solo song today because as the choir was practicing, I said, "This goes perfect with my sermon. Would you mind if we sang?" And she said no. So thank you, Helen. I appreciate it. I want to start with a little story. You know, when I was a little girl, when my mother was a little girl, they lived in Brooklyn, and there was a woman who lived with them. She was from Poland, and her name was Mary Matska. And Mary lived with she rented a room from my grandparents. And when my grandparents left Brooklyn and moved to Massachusetts, Mary came with them. And when they moved from Massachusetts to North Albany, Mary came with them. And so I always grew up with Mary being in the house, always renting a room from my grandparents. And she was like a, you know, an aunt or another mother or grandmother, and she would take me places, and we used to ride the bus and go to downtown Albany and do some shopping. And the area that we lived in, I was thinking about it last night in bed, and the part of North Albany that we lived in was almost like just this little village all by itself. Because if you went two blocks one way, you hit industrial, it's not Niagara Mohawk anymore, but you know, NIMO was down there. And if you went up the hill a couple of blocks, you hit Memorial Hospital. And if you went five or six blocks one way, you hit the RCA building and all the commercial buildings that way. And if you went the other direction, you hit Montgomery Wards and the strip mall down there. So it was just like, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 block area where there was this center of life, community. And there was one fire station and two churches, the Catholic Church and the Community Church. There were two schools, a Catholic school and the public school. Everybody knew everybody in that area. My parents never cared about where I went or whose house I was going to. Once I was old enough, you know, to walk by myself, they never worried because they knew everybody. Well, Mary used to take me to the church every once in a while with her on Sunday. She was Catholic. We went to the community church, and Mary was Catholic. And, you know, in those days, the nuns lived right next door to the church. We used to call it the nunnery. I never knew whether that was right, but that's what we called it as a kid. And the Catholic church always had at least once a year, a fair or a festival in their parking lot where you had rides and cotton candy and all kinds of things like that. And we would go and we would visit, and you know, the nuns were always very, very nice. They would let us come in to where they lived and show us around. And I used to go around and light the candles. I never knew what the candles were for until I got older. I just liked to light the candles because I thought they looked pretty. What can I say? But, you know, I get talking with the nuns sometimes, and I remember at some point them saying, you know, that they, you know, that you'd see the wedding ring on their finger, and you come to the idea that they were married to the church, and I never really understood what that meant. But they always said, you know, well, I was called to be this. I was called to be a priest. I was called to be a nun. I was called to do this. I never really knew what that meant until I got older. And, you know, parents sometimes always ask their kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or family members ask children what they want to be to grow up. I don't ever remember anybody asking me that, but at some point I always knew I wanted to work in the health field. It was. And God must have placed that a burden upon my heart, because there's no medical people in my family. There's no encouragement to ever go into that field. It was just, you know, that's what I knew I was going to do. And, you know, I think all of us at some point in time have felt that tug, that call to do something. So today we're going to talk about a few things. And the first story that I want to share with you is the story of a woman and her son. The woman was married to a man. He loved her very much, very, very much. They went to church together. They stayed for potluck. At potluck, he served her. He brought her extra food to take care of her. There was a little problem, though. She was infertile. She couldn't have any children. And he had another wife. And that wife had lots of children. So, you know, as things go, there's little animosity, a little jealousy, a little envy in that relationship. And one time when she was at church, she was so despondent, so depressed. She found a little quiet area, and she poured her heart out to God. She cried out to him, and she asked him for a child, for a son. And she promised him that if God, that he gave her a son, that she would give her son back to God. She promised that no razor would ever touch his head. And you can read all about that story in 1 Samuel. That woman was Hannah. And God did answer her prayer. Hannah went back home. She was blessed with a son. She named her son Samuel, and she kept him home. The Bible says until he was weaned. I think, you know, some commentaries I read said, you know, 3 or 4 years of age. And then they went back to the temple, and they brought Samuel with them. And when she got to the temple, she presented Samuel to Eli. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, starting at verse 26. When you have it, if you could just say it, amen. Everybody have it? I'll be reading from the NIV. And she said to him, Eli, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I have asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, what does that have to do with answering the call? Hannah didn't answer a call. She asked God. God actually answered the call. Samuel didn't answer a call. He didn't have a choice. His mother and father brought him there. It would be like Helen and Pedro taking Michael and take him to a school and saying, here, we want him to be an Adventist pastor, so we're leaving him in this school, and you're going to raise him up, and you're going to make him a pastor. What would Michael do? Not that Helen and Pedro would ever do that to Michael, but you understand the symbolism. So they left him there. And they worshiped God there. And You know, I call Samuel a child priest, and I don't use those terms in the word that he served the way an elder or a deacon would, but he served Eli, who was the priest. So, you know, a little time went by, and let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2 now. And we're going to read starting at verse 18. Just a page or so over, depending upon your Bible. And it says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod, or ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman, to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord.' And then they would go home." Now, do you think at that point Hannah thought she would have more children? It's not mentioned in the Bible, but, you know, she only asked God for one child, right? But God was gracious. "And the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." So, by fulfilling her vow to God, Hannah was blessed. She was given more children, more sons, more daughters. How many times, or how many ways do we involve our youth in the worship service here? I call, Michael always meets Pedro in the back when he's up here, and he runs down and he stands there with us, and I always say he's a little elder or a little deacon in training. But really, our young children, what do we do to encourage them? And how old is how young is too young for a child to be involved in serving the Lord or helping in the Lord's house? I'm not asking for an answer. I'm just putting that out there for us to think about. His mother still made his clothes because he couldn't sew for himself. Every year when she came to worship, she brought him new clothes. And the love that went into them. You know, if you know, the ephod had all the stones, and each thing had a different meaning, and the sashes, and all of that. So Samuel was entrenched in what it meant to be a priest, a servant of God. It says that Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men. Does that sound familiar to you? Is there another boy in the Bible that's said about? You can find it in Luke 2:52. It was said about Christ. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 and going through verse 10. Now you have to remember, Samuel's in the synagogue. He is serving Eli. And he is with the Lord. So verse 1 says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple, and the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli. 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lay down.' So he went and he laid down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lay down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So he's been ministering in the temple, taking care of Eli, helping out with all the things that go on in the temple. But he didn't know the Lord yet. Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lay down. And if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So as I read that, there were a couple of things that came into my mind. You know, I find it interesting that, first of all, I don't know how old Samuel was when this happened, but I'm assuming he'd been in the temple for a while, serving, observing the sacrifices, learning the Bible, learning what was then the Bible, and really getting to know why we sacrificed, they sacrificed lambs, why they prayed, why they asked for forgiveness, why they looked forward to a Messiah, all these things, and yet he didn't know God yet. And in our walk with Christ, we still have that. We still sometimes have that. We see people, we know people, they know who God is. They know, you know, that might believe that there is a God. They might read their Bible, but they don't know God. And it isn't until you know God that you can hear his voice. Have you ever felt called to do something? Could be a job like mine, to be a nurse, maybe to be a teacher, to work with children, maybe to be an accountant, a bookkeeper, a speaker, a carpenter, whatever. Did you answer the call? Or did you choose to do something else in life? Doesn't really matter. I'm not here to convict anybody for not answering the call. What I am here to tell you is that if you do something, whatever it is, you should do it all for the glory of God. If you didn't answer it, why not? Were you afraid? Were you unsure? Were you unwilling? Were you not sure if it was God? Did you not know how maybe you could do it? We have a lot of reasons why we don't always answer when God calls. But we do know that all things are possible through God. Correct? Amen. In the book Ministry of Healing, by Ellen White, there's a chapter that talks about being saved to serve. And here we all thought that we were going to be saved to do what? To go to heaven? To praise God? Not that that's a bad thing, and we probably will do that, but is that really why we were saved? Is that the only reason God sent his son to die on the cross for us? So that we could go to heaven? You know, God made a promise to Adam and Eve that a Savior would come once they sinned. And that Savior would set his people free. Was that to make Adam and Eve feel better? Was it so that they could maybe think about getting back or have the hope of returning to Eden? Do you think they thought that's what was going to happen? That if they lived a good life and sacrificed, that they were going to get back into Eden? I don't think that's what they thought. No. I think that they knew that they were called to tell humanity about who God was, how they fell, and how God was going to save them. And I am sure that the first people that they told were their children. Because how else would Cain and Abel have known about the sacrifice? How would one have known he gave a good sacrifice and the other one not? How would the word have gotten to Noah to serve God? So, yeah, we do have the hope of eternity. Thank God. Praise God that we have that hope that we can spend eternity with him. And praise God that we have the hope that we'll be in heaven with him. But that's not our primary function. It's not our primary call. When you read Mark 5, and we're not going to turn there, but in Mark 5 there's a story about the demoniac who when Christ and the disciples crossed the lake, he came and he had been chained and he was in tattered clothes, or some versions will say that he was naked and filled with legions of evil spirits. And Christ drove those spirits out. And when the people came, when the pigs ran over the side and killed themselves, and word got back to the townspeople, they came and they saw this man in his right mind, clothed, speaking things that they never heard him speak before. The townspeople were so frightened that they told Jesus to go. They were afraid of him. They weren't worshiping him. They weren't praising him. They were afraid of him. And this man wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to stay with Jesus, with his Savior. He wanted to get in the boat. And what did Christ say? Stay. And why? What did he say to him? He told him to go and tell the people what he had done for them. Didn't tell him to stay because he was unworthy to be with God. He didn't tell him because he was unworthy to get into the boat. He didn't tell him because he wasn't rich or because he wasn't famous or because he couldn't speak well. God had another plan for him. He had a mission for him. And that mission was to go and preach in the cities. How much time did he spend with Christ? A few hours? Maybe a day? I don't know. But it wasn't long. And Christ called him to a mission. However, when Christ returned, what was the results of that? People came from far and wide around Decapolis, the 10 cities, because they had heard of Christ. They had heard what he had done for this man, and they knew he was back. And instead of going and saying, you need to leave, we're afraid of you, we don't want you here, what did they do? They welcomed him. They came to hear him. They came to see who he was and to hear the words that he had for them. The Samaritan woman at the well, we talked about her a few weeks ago. You know, she was meeting Christ at the well and amazed that, you know, a Jew would talk to her because of the animosity between them. She was in awe that he knew everything about her, how many husbands she had, that the man she was living with wasn't her husband now. He told her everything about her life. And what did she do? She went back to the townspeople and said, you got to see this man. You have to come and hear this man. He told me everything I know. Could this be the Messiah? Jesus didn't even tell her to do that. She just couldn't keep it inside her. She had to go and tell people. And they were so interested and so marveled that they came and they listened to what he had to say. And then there's the woman with the hemorrhaging. I like this story. We all know the story of the woman who was bleeding for years and years and years. She had tried everything, spent all her money. She was desperate. And Christ is going through the crowds. He's on his way to heal a child. And she's if I just can touch the hem of his garment, he doesn't have to speak to me. He doesn't have to look at me. He doesn't have to talk to me. I just need to touch the hem of his garment, and I'll be healed. And she was. And what happened? She turned around and went home? No. Jesus was not going to let that happen. He knew what had happened. He knew what he had in mind for her. He knew what he wanted her to do. And he called her out. Yes, he did. Thank you, Hugh. He said, you have a job that I need you to do. And he called and he looked around and he said, who touched me? Somebody touched me. I know somebody touched me. Now, Christ knew who touched him. He knew, but he wanted this woman to stand up and give her testimony. And right then and there, she didn't think about it. She was afraid. She was humble. But she didn't run. She could have. Nobody would have known. She could have just nicely backed away and gotten lost in the crowd. But Christ called her, and she testified. So when God touches your life, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to quietly rejoice? Are you supposed to come to church and lift up that praise? That's not a bad thing. But shouldn't you do more? Isaiah 43:12 says, you are my witness, says the Lord, that I am God. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to go out and be a witness and say, there is a God, and this is what my God has done for me. Jesus never asked any of those people that we just talked about to start a church. He never asked them to put on an amazing facts seminar. He never asked them to have a special speaker come with special music and all the things that we do. He just asked them to go out and tell other people what he had done in their lives. You know, the Bible really doesn't give us a lot of detail about a lot of the people in the Bible that did things for Christ. We don't always know what happened to them. We don't always know where they went and how long they lived. And some people we do. There's some people that, you know, are very famous. Even non-believers know who they are. Moses comes to my mind. I think most people would know who Moses was. But that's not the point. It doesn't matter whether they played a big role or a little role. What matters is that they answered the call. Well, Samuel answered the call as well. You know, the fourth time. The first two times, you know, he didn't know God. It wasn't that he was unwilling to answer the call. He did answer. He answered the person he thought was calling him, which was his master, Eli, right? Went the first time, went the second time. Finally, the light goes on in Eli's head. Oh, I remember when Hannah brought him here. She said that he was going to serve the Lord forever. And so finally, Eli says, you know what? If you go back in and lay down, and if, and I thought that was strange, if you hear his voice again, did Eli think God wasn't going to call Samuel again? I don't know. But if you hear his voice again, this is what you need to say. So Samuel went back to bed again, and he heard God calling a third time, a fourth time. And he answered, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Just like when I was a child, that I had no idea why a person would give their life up to live what I thought at that point was an isolated life. Samuel didn't really know what God had in store for him. Didn't know really why his parents had brought him there and dropped him off, although I'm sure he was told. But, you know, being told, well, I'm doing this because I promised God that I would give him you back to him, doesn't really give a child an answer. Well, what do you want me to do here? You gave him back to me. What am I going to do? I don't ever remember my parents or grandparents talking about what God wanted them to do in their lives. I don't remember them asking about, you know, how I felt about God in my life. They went to church. I'm sure they believed in God. And I don't know. You know, sometimes I think, well, maybe they really didn't have a relationship with God. But then again, maybe they did, because they did the one thing God wanted them to do, and that was to take me to church, to expose me to who he was. And God did the rest. So maybe they really did what God called them to do. There was another one who answered the call of God, and that person was Jesus Christ. He answered the call from before the foundation of the earth, the Bible says. And although we don't know a lot about his early life, we do know that as a young child, he became aware of what his purpose was. You know, we read that when he was about 12 years old, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to worship and to sacrifice, and somehow in the rush of all the traveling, like me forgetting my sermon at home, Mary and Joseph sort of lost track of Jesus, thinking he was with other relatives or other family, and they left. And when they realized that he wasn't there, they went back, and they searched the city for him. And what did he say when they found him? "Do you not know I must be about my Father's work?" So, at a very, very young age, Christ knew that there was a plan for his life. And it's hard sometimes for us to imagine Jesus as a human and as God melded together. But he was. When he was 4 years old, he didn't know who God was. He didn't necessarily know what plan God had for him. But as he got older, as his parents taught him who God was and how he came about and how his birth came, he began to realize that the Holy Spirit was working in him. I found it pretty funny, and I don't remember whether I put it in the sermon or not, but you know, when you think about it, God asked God to answer a call, right? God asked God to answer a call, and he answered his own call. There are many men and women in the Bible that have answered the call. Some are famous, some are not. I think of Noah, Joseph, Ruth, Esther, Deborah, even Samson. Some of them answered the call right away, stood right up, said, okay. Some of them, like Moses and Joseph, Moses was like, no. I don't speak the language well. You better send somebody else. And I can't do this. I've been away for 40 years. And then, you know, you have Joseph who really, like Samuel, didn't have a choice of answering the call. His brothers dropped him in a hole and then sold him. And so he's going away and he's faithful and believing, you know, but he's like, why, God? Why are you doing this? Why am I going here? Why is this happening? But he kept moving forward. He never lost the faith that he had, that God had something planned for him. And it was years later before he could say to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Looking back, he could see, this is why all this happened. And sometimes in our own lives, we have to do that. We'll be going through something, or something will happen, and we're like, I don't understand. Am I not praying enough? Am I not serving God enough? Do I not love him enough? Am I not trusting him? Because we don't see the beginning from the end, but God does. There were many hundreds of thousands of people from the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to today who have answered the call. And we won't know who they are until we get to heaven. We've never heard their names. We've never seen their faces. They're the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers who just brought their children to church, or who just handed food to a neighbor or someone in need, that lived out a witness that God called them to do. And we never heard of them. But we will know them when we get to heaven. Have you heard God's call? Are you listening to his voice? Will you answer the call when he calls you to be a witness? Will you be like that woman with the hemorrhage who gets called out and immediately has an answer, can tell her testimony? Or will you be like Moses, who hems and haws, bargains with God, deliberates? Will you be like Noah, who works for 120 years before God works his miracle? Will you be like Samson and waste a part of your life and the gift that God gave you until the end? Are you willing to make excuses? I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too tired. I work too much, I haven't been a Christian long enough. When God calls you, he will equip you with the work he has for you to do. He really will. The hard part for us is trusting that when God says, "Eric, I want you to go knock on someone's door," I praise Eric and anybody else who goes knocking on somebody's door. I don't know that I could do that, but I do hope that if God called me to do that, I would be willing to. I'm going to invite each of you that when you hear the call, and you will hear a call, because God never, ever leaves us. He never walks away, just like he called Samuel 4 times. He'll continue to call you until you answer the call. The one thing he called you for may go by the wayside. Maybe that thing has already happened. He'll have something else for you. And if you answer the first call, when that call is finished, he'll have another one for you. Because the work that we do is not going to end until Christ returns. So, again, I'm going to tell you, open your ears, open your eyes, open your heart, because if they're closed, the Holy Spirit can't work through you, and you'll miss the call, and you will miss that call. It's my earnest prayer that each of you will hear the call and respond, and I pray that you'll receive a blessing for that. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be who you want me to be. Father, Joshua says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, as we leave this place, I pray that you would watch over us and guide us. I pray that we will hear your call, Father, that our hearts and minds would be attuned to you, that our ears would be open to the still small voice that calls for us, and that we will answer that call willingly and wholeheartedly, Father, that we will bring your word to those around us and around the world, and that you will soon return to bring us all home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.